Pastor Craig will be back next week. His oldest daughter had some surgery that needed to take place, so he's out there with his Princess Carissa, as we call her. It's his eldest daughter, and she's just to know she's doing well and doing good, so continue to pray for Pastor Craig and the whole family through this time. But he called and she texted with my wife and I a couple days ago, so she seems to be doing pretty good, so we're encouraged by that. So we've been in the series of James. If you haven't been here, we've been in the book of James, and we've been just kind of going through some things. It's one of those books that, as today you'll find out, kind of smacks you in the face a little bit. You kind of get you get a good little check on where you're at. Lets you know, like, how am I doing? This is a good kind of litmus test of where you're at in your walk and what's going on. And the book of James, it's a great book. And, you know, James is, as we know, they mentioned last week, it's Jesus' half-brother. And James is a well-known leader during this time. And really, he's the leader of the Jerusalem church. You know, they talk about James was one of the ones that was selected individuals Christ appeared to after his resurrection. In Galatians 2:9, Paul called him the pillar of the church. Paul, on his first post-conversion visit to Jerusalem, saw James. Paul did the same on his last visit in Acts. When Peter was rescued from prison, he told his friends to tell James, presumably because James was a key leader in the church. James was a leader in the important Council of Jerusalem. James was a key figure in the church during that time, and many people referenced him as that leader. And so we've been in this series about James and the book of James, and really the book of James is really to get us all to focus back on what Christ had just done. Right? The whole purpose of the things that he's saying and the corrections that he's bringing is to get us to look a little more like Jesus, that over time it seems we've gotten further and further away from who Christ is and when he was here, what he did, and he's bringing correction. He's pointing some things out. I know none of us need any correction or pointing things out, but those of you that do, we'll get into some of those things today. So it's going to be so much fun. I don't know about you, but as I keep going through life, I keep realizing more and more and more this is not about me. It's just not. It's not about me. It's not about my stuff. I want to serve God. It's bigger than yourself. You know, you and I are watched regularly. People watch you all the time. People are observant. People know. People know just by you being in Christ, they can see something different. Or they might not. We're watched all the time. We don't even realize the magnitude of influence that we have. We are supposed to represent Christ. We are living out Christ. And if we do that, people will see something different. Sometimes we don't recognize it. I think the more and more I go through life and people will say things to encourage me, I'm always blown away because I didn't think. I didn't know. A guy talked to me after second service or after first service today, and he said, "Do you remember 5 years ago?" I'm like, "Dude, I can't remember what I did 5 minutes ago. What do you mean 5 years ago?" And he's like, "Well, you said that I can't do this alone, and I didn't for a season, and then I started trying to do this alone, and now I'm off doing things I shouldn't be doing. I need to get back in community. Do you remember saying that?" I said, "No, but that's the Lord speaking. Hold on to that, what you've been told." And so when we talk about James and we talk about what's going on, we faced trials, we faced temptations, all of us. We talked about that in week one and week two. Last week talked about listening and doing. We got to be doers of the word. Right? You can have all the knowledge and all the things that you want. You can know the Bible inside and out. But if you don't apply it, what good is it? Many of you are smarter than I am, know more than I do. You have friends that are smarter, but they don't apply it. What good is that? Let's be doers of the word. See, I've been asking God, I said, you know, God, why are we in James now? Because I don't believe we just do things randomly and things happen. I believe there's a reason and there's a purpose that we're in the book of James right now. I believe that the Lord wants to steer us in a certain way, bring a little bit of correction. Fun word. I don't know about you, but the more I get corrected, the freer I get. We can see correction as a negative. Oh, don't correct me. I don't want to be corrected. We all need it. I truly believe that there's a season of this where the Lord is just, he's just helping us and we're growing in that when we're learning like how to walk, how to really press in, how to spend time. And there's correction that's bringing because I believe there's something he's going to release. But I think we have to be ready. You and I have to be ready for that. Chapter 2, it talks a little bit about favoritism and how that's forbidden. And how do we treat people? How do we see people? We talk to people because they have some value to us. They have some wealth. Do we treat people differently because of how they look, how they talk? How do we treat people? I know I'm guilty of it. Preparing this message was convicting for me. Pastor Craig was supposed to do this week and I was supposed to do next week and I said, that's convenient that we switched. He's probably just saying, well, you got a little bit to learn, that's why you get it. It's a challenge. I don't know about you, but I like challenges. I'm a competitive guy by nature. When I read this, I'm like, this is a challenge to me, not a condemning. Now, it can be convicting, and that's good, and it should happen, but it's also a challenge to me like, okay, Lord, I'm going to walk out what you're saying. I need to do this. I'm not just going to go, oh, man, I'm no good. I can't do it. No, let's do this. Let's do this together. Well, what are you talking about? I'm going to talk about it in just a minute. These first few chapters show us how unprofitable and dead faith is without works. Right, this isn't one of these fun messages that every guy wants to stand up here and preach, but it's one of those messages that it's truth and it hits us. And we have to be willing today, you and I have to be willing today to say, I'm going to open up my heart, I'm going to open up my mind, and I'm going to be willing to look internally to see where I'm at. It's not a, hey, my spouse or my friend next to me. No, this is you today. I want you to think about you. Don't think about your friends or like, oh, yeah, they've got all kinds of problems. They need all the kind of help they can get. All right, this is about you today. I told a story that you got to be careful sitting in the second row because you never know what we'll hear. And a couple weeks ago, Pastor Craig was said something about like, who wants more of the Lord? And I heard this old lady behind me go to her husband, did I see you raise your hand? And he goes, yeah, I raised my hand. Oh, I didn't see you raise your hand. Do you not want more? And I'm just dying laughing, right? Inside, I'm like, okay, Lord, I hope we stay focused on what's going on. But I'm like, we always need a little nudge from somebody. Some of us nudge more than others. Spouses, typically. But it was definitely funny. I want to say this before I jump into this. Can I encourage you this morning? I believe that a lot of us have gifts and talents that we've been given, and we're not stepping into them. One of the things I love to do, one of the things I love about coaching, is I love to be able to see the gifts and the talents that these players have and to try to bring the best out of them. I don't let them settle. Like they know that I'm challenging and I'm hard on them. It's because I see something in them. Can I challenge you this morning that I see something in you? I feel like the Lord was just saying, like, remind them of the gifts and talents that they have, that all we're doing this morning is trying to pull those out. We're checking ourselves. We're checking where we're at. But the Lord wants to pull those things out and wants us to function in those gifts and in those talents that you've been given. All of you have them. So we talk about James, we get into chapter 3, and it starts to move into taming the tongue. It's a fun one, right? Again, I got to reiterate, I'm asking you this morning, will you be open to hear what the Holy Spirit is telling you about your life, about who you are and how you respond and how you act? It's not here to condemn you, but hopefully it will bring change. Hopefully it'll be some things that enlighten to you, like, yeah, I probably shouldn't talk bad about that person. Pastor Craig said, just tell them to stop talking crap. That's a simple way of saying it. That's only Pastor Craig can say. That's why I said his name, so I didn't. Yeah. Let's open to James 3, verse 1. Not many of you should become teachers. Should have read that before I got my teaching credential. My fellow believers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. I don't know about you, but I take this very serious. I take this serious that if I'm teaching the word, I'm doing my best, that what I know how to do to prepare a message. If I'm teaching in discipleship, I'm doing my best to prepare. I want to say the truth. I want to speak what God's word says. But I'm not perfect. The next verse says, we all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check. You know that's none of us. And then it gets into small things. It gets into little things that have a major impact. It's disproportionate of the things we're about to read and the impact that it has. It says, when you put bits into the mouth of a horse to make them obey, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue is also a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. That's a tough one. That tongue. Anybody get into trouble? Saying things they shouldn't have said or wish they hadn't have said. I don't know if I reminded you of this story. I don't know if I told this story, but I'm reminded of it. You learn as you go, right? I mean, that's the reality. And I was in a practice one day, and I brought over this girl. I can't remember if I told her or not. Sorry if I'm repeating myself. But I'm talking to her, we're practicing, and she's crying during practice. So I'm pretty aware of my player, and to come over and just put my arm around her and ask her how she's doing, and she's crying. And I'm talking to her, and I say, oh, everything's going to be okay. She goes, I know, I'm just having a tough day. And then she starts really crying. So I'm trying to, like, lighten the mood, right? Everybody try to, like, lighten it up a little bit. Like, too much seriousness for me. I try to lighten it up a little bit. And so I said, you know, it could be worse. You could be pregnant or something. And she goes, I am. You now know my most embarrassing story. That is it. You guys are really groaning. I didn't do anything that bad. Oh, man, I repented after that one. I was like, this is probably 15 years ago, but I've seen her since. She lives in Hawaii, and a little precious kid of hers, he's an absolute doll, and we laugh about it now. And so when I reconnected with her after a period of time, I said, do you remember? She goes, oh, yeah. Again, that wasn't an intentional thing. That wasn't talking crap, but it was just an example of sometimes we need a little wisdom before we say something. Right? We need to have some wisdom, but that tongue is a powerful, powerful thing. It says it can corrupt your entire life. What, this small little tongue, this rudder that steers this giant ship, the spark that sets everything on fire, the bit in the horse's mouth. How disproportionate the size with the impact. So this morning, I'm going to challenge you a bit on looking internally. Where are you at with your tongue? Do you bless people or do you curse people? Do you say just kind of some things and you say, oh, bless their heart and it's okay somehow? Do you let things slip? I've learned a lot of things from Pastor Craig over the years, and one of the things I've been most impressed with, it's his ability to bless people that have done things to hurt him, done things to bring pain and hurt to him. And I know a lot of his stories. I can't imagine being a pastor for 20 years and all the stories that he's got to have. And I know enough of them because we've spent a lot of time together. And if there's anything that I love about this man is he tries to live out what he's learning. And he's like, I'm not gonna allow my tongue to become that evil, that one that spits venom. I'm not gonna do it. And so I saw his prayer journal, and I was like, yes, I'm in his prayer journal. A lot of you are, you'd be surprised. Every day he prays. And toward the top of his list are some people that I know that have caused hurt and pain in his life. And we talked about it because years ago I went through some stuff and he's like, bless, don't curse. You hear him say that all the time. It's in his prayer journal. Every day he prays for these people that have hurt him. Every day. I'm like, Pastor, how do you do that? He goes, I just love people. I love the Lord, so why not bless? Why would I ever want to curse somebody? Why would I ever want damage or harm to come to somebody? It's such a powerful example of being able to tame the tongue. But he would tell you he can't do it on your own, and it says that in here. But verse 7, it says, all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. In one of the commentaries I read, it says, no man can tame the tongue without supernatural grace and assistance. The apostle does not intend to represent it as a thing impossible, but as a thing extremely difficult, which therefore will require great watchfulness and pains and prayer to keep it in due order. Again, James is saying, look, it's not impossible, but it is a real challenge. It is difficult to tame the tongue. And we're being watched. People are watching us, and the things that we say can affect somebody's view on how they see Christ. I don't know about you, but I'd rather have somebody see it in a positive light through the things I say than in a negative. You ever had other believers say things to you and you're like, whoa. And you have those that bless you and you're like, man, you're awesome. Verse 9 says, with the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Called to love your neighbor. Love your enemies. I know it's not a fun message to hear, but I believe that there is some releasing of what God wants to do once we grasp some of the things that we're learning. See, we're all made in God's likeness. That means all of these people, all of you, everybody here are God's children. I don't know about you, but if someone says something negative about my child, something rises up in me and wants me to think that I'm 6'5". And then I started to think, what does God think when we talk bad about his children? Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Look, James is addressing Christians. He's addressing believers. It's no different in our time today than it was in his. You and I need to watch what we're saying. It should not be. Can you call yourself even a Christian if you're out cursing people? One of the commentaries that I read said, Christ is on display through us. I don't know if you've thought of that or wanted to take that on. I don't know that I ever said, yeah, I want Christ to be on display through me. It's kind of a heavy, weighty thing to carry, but it's true. We had young adults on Wednesday, and we sat on the floor here, and we just talked about your mission and your purpose and what is God telling you, and people were writing stuff down, and we started sharing. And I told them what mine is to impact. That's my word. That's my life word, is to impact people's lives for the kingdom. So I wonder what yours is. How do you see your walk with the Lord? Is it about you or is it about others? See, it's bigger than yourself. This life we live, this place on earth, it's bigger than us. And so he talks about the taming of the tongue and the things that happen and the destruction that it can cause. And so my next thought in reading this is, well, okay, what do I do with this? And it comes to the next part. It talks about wisdom. It talks about heavenly wisdom versus evil or demonic wisdom, earthly wisdom. A lot of us are smart. A lot of us have knowledge. Honestly, I have more knowledge about the word than other people, but we don't use it correctly. It's not about us boasting. It's not about us puffing our chest out to making us, hey, I know more than you. It's not about that. It's about loving people well. But it talks about wisdom throughout all of the scripture, right? There's lots and lots of verses about wisdom. It's more valuable than any rubies. We need to ask for wisdom. Anybody try to do stuff on your own? Going to find out later, if I just would have asked God, perhaps things might have ended up differently. Every week, anybody? Okay. Verse 13 says, who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in meekness of wisdom. But, here it is, if you have any bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. So if we're relying on man's wisdom, if we're self-seeking, there will be confusion and every evil thing will be there. I don't know about you, when I read that, I'm like, definitely don't want that. Philippians 2:3 says, let nothing be done with selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than yourself. I'm asking you to take a look inside. Do you esteem others better than yourself? To me, it comes down to serving. Willing to serve whomever, whenever. But that first part in 14 through 16, those verses, it's talking about that false wisdom. It's talking about earthly, sensual, demonic, or you could say things of the world, things of the flesh, and things of the devil. It's not from above. And I ask you, how many of us do we think we actually function in the things of the world? Do we function in the worldly wisdom and we don't see God for heavenly wisdom? Do we get the wisdom that's from below, or do we get the wisdom that's from above? I grew up in a house where revenge was a normal thing. An eye for an eye. I believe if we live for Christ, we give up the right of an eye for an eye. So what does wisdom look like? Heavenly wisdom in verse 17 and 18. Says, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. You could go back to the Beatitudes. You could see some similarities and some correlation there. Pure being the first one. It says first pure. If you read throughout Scripture that peace comes after pure. Peace doesn't come before pure. Pure, not allowing of any known sin, but studious of holiness, both in heart and life. Matthew 5:8 said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall seek God. Can you check that box this morning? Where are you at when it comes to being pure? Second one is peaceable. Again, pure always comes before peace. Peace follows purity and depends upon it. Those who are truly wise do what they can to preserve peace, that it may not be broken, and to make peace, that where it is lost, it may be restored. Do you have peace that's broken? You need to do what it takes to bring peace, to restore that. Well, in Matthew 5:9, it says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are the peacemakers. And the next thing in that scripture about the heavenly wisdom is the word gentle. Not being rude or overbearing in conversation, not harsh or cruel in temper. Sometimes I'm rude. Sometimes I'm overbearing. Can I tell you that as I continue to grow, I continue to learn, I continue to ask the wisdom of the Lord, and I'll tell you this story, and I hope you hear my heart. It's just my journey. It's just how I'm growing in my walk with the Lord. But as some of you know, that I do some coaching, and I had a parent on the last game of the high school season come up to me, and he started talking to me on the side, and he says, you know, my son so-and-so, he hasn't been playing. And as a coach, your first thought is, oh, it's because he's not good enough. This is reality, right? And the old me for sure would have blown him off. I would have said, have you talked to your son about this? Why don't you have your son come talk to me? I'm just being honest with you. I'll be rude at times, like what, I got some hidden agenda? I'm playing the guys I think are the best players. It's not hard for me to, like, it's simple, isn't it? And that was that, I've had that, I've done that response in the past. Just being honest with you. And the shift for me was interesting. I just, as he said that, I'm like, okay, Lord, how do you want me to respond? And so I listened and we talked. And he said, you know, his mom was bummed he didn't get in his last home game. I said, I get it. I understand. I said, you know, my perspective is the team first, and some kids play and some kids don't, but I'm not minimizing your pain that you want to see your son play. And he said, you know, we spent a lot of time as a family, we pray. And I said, you're a praying man. Yeah. Do you go to church? No. We read our Bible a lot. I said, oh, tell me about your time with your family at home. And we started talking about Jesus. And my first thought when I was done is how many times did I turn somebody away because of my pride that did end up in that conversation with more people in my lifetime. And he asked me where I go to church, and I said, well, I'm happening, you know, over here. And he said, I live in Laverne. I said, well, I'm preaching Sunday. And he goes, well, maybe I'll come by. I don't know if he was here or not. But it was a moment for me where I thought, man, how many times did I respond with my tongue in a way that wasn't honoring, that wasn't blessing somebody? Someone was frustrated or hurting or in pain, and I didn't even bother to consider it. And I went home and I bragged to my wife about it. She fills me up. She's my encourager. I'm so proud of you, honey. I said, I know you would be. But God's wisdom was in that. That wasn't me. That was totally out of character for what's normal for me, if I'm honest, in that situation, because I know more. I've done this for 20 years. I've had successful things. I know what I'm doing. Been there? You can't tell me what to do. What kind of record do you have? Just being honest with you guys this morning. Man, that moment was so powerful for me. And I'm like, okay, moving forward, I need to have that mentality. What are people going through? How can I love on somebody that isn't even in agreement with me? So number three was gentle. So number one was pure. Number two is peaceable. Three is gentle. Making allowance for the feeling of others, not insisting on one's own right. The fourth is willing to yield. Are you easy to live with? Are you reasonable? Don't ask my wife that question. My wife is probably the easiest person to live with, so I'm blessed. But I know that I'm not always the easiest. I continue to work. I continue to strive. Number five says, full of mercy and good fruits. And the sixth one was without partiality, unwavering, stands on their principles, treats everyone equally, without hypocrisy. Don't be a phony. I tell you that this morning, don't be fake. Be real, be authentic. People will see through any phoniness. Be sincere. See, it's about asking God for wisdom. There's a huge difference between wisdom and knowledge, right? We can all pull out our phones and ask Siri a question and get a little knowledge. What do you do with that knowledge? What do you do with that information? Knowledge is information, and wisdom is how to apply it. In the Hebrew, wisdom says the ability to make right choices. I told Pastor Craig, why don't you preach on James a long time ago? It would have saved me a lot of trouble. Proverbs 8:11 says, For wisdom is more precious than rubies, and nothing you desire can compare with her. Nothing you desire can compare to wisdom. That means the things of this world that you think fill you up are nothing compared to wisdom. But I wonder how many of us, as you take that look inside that inventory, how many of us ask for wisdom? How many of us are spending time with the Lord on a regular basis asking, Lord, give me wisdom? Go read about Solomon. Psalm 111:10, it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. I don't have time to get into the fear of the Lord, but it's powerful. We need to have a reverence for God. So at the end of 18, it says, now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Can I ask you this question this morning? What are you sowing? What would people say about you? What are you sowing? Sowing peace reaps righteousness. Peace with God equals peace with others. Whatever we plant, we get. See, there's a young lady who's in our young adults. She's not even known the Lord for 2 years. She's an inspiration to me because of the way she's chosen to live it out. The whole title of this series, we've titled it, it's called Live It Out. And we did an activation a couple Thursdays ago where we took a card and you wrote your own name on the bottom of it. You folded it up and then you wrote whether you were a son or a daughter on top. And then we collected all the cards and we handed them out. And she got a card back that said something about her work. Something about a harvest coming to her work and that lives would be affected and the people see her at her workplace and all these things. Something about her work is what she was telling me. And she goes, Jason, I'm reading that and thinking, I have no other choice that if I really believe in who God is, that if I really want to follow God, I need to step out in faith in what I think God is asking me to do. And I was like, what was he asking you to do? She goes, well, I've worked at this place for about a year and a half. I've never met the owner. And we're getting ready to move, and we wanted to buy this building, and we hadn't got approved yet. And so I felt like I was led to, from this card that was given to me from the Lord, I felt like I was led to go to my boss and say, I want to go pray over our building. Are you okay with that? So you never met the owner? She goes, no, never. I said, so you just like walked into his office? She goes, yeah, I asked if I could get an appointment. I wouldn't talk to him. Like, how did that go? He thought it was great. Come to find out, he's a Christian. So he said, sure, go for it. Go pray over this building. Maybe, who knows what'll happen. So she asked some people here and people from the Encounter Ministry School, and Pastor Craig and Heather, they went down there and they prayed. And as they're praying for this building. It was just a great time that they had. And they actually wrote a bunch of words down for the owner of the business and gave them to him later. And an hour after they got done, they got a phone call that they had got the building. Yeah, amen. See, this person is living it out. This person is going, if I really believe this, if I really understand who God is, I have to be all in. I have to do these things. I have no choice, but God, it just propels me to go do these things. I love what he's done for me in my life. I'm so drawn to him that I can't help but act. I can't help but respond. I can't help but go do and be out in this community. I just go and I can't help but do it. Love that about her. See, it's not about her. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit. Esteem others above themselves, above yourself. She's about living it for Christ. And so James is talking about wisdom. He's talking about the tongue. And then he goes into this long thing about drawing closer to God. I don't have time to get it. If I have the prayer team, come on up. But it's in chapter 4, it's talking about drawing closer to God. But then he gets back into this and he says this. He says, what is causing the quarrels and the fights among you? Do they come from the evil desires at war within you? You want what you don't have, so you scheme and you kill to get it. You are jealous of what others have, but you don't get it, so you fight and you wage war to take it away from them. You can continue reading that, but then in verse 7 it says, so humble yourselves before God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Come close to God and God will come close to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, for your loyalty is divided between God and the world. Let there be tears for what you have done. Let there be sorrow and deep grief. Let there be sadness instead of laughter and gloom instead of joy. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up in honor. Humble ourselves. So I'm asking you this morning, will you humble yourself? Will you take a look internally and say, what are those things that I need to work on? What am I doing with my tongue? What am I doing with wisdom? Am I humble? Stand with me this morning. Are we living it out? This living out is bigger than us. It's bigger than us. It's bigger than you and me. As a kid growing up, we went to church on Sunday. Monday through Saturday was something different. And I always wondered, like, why do we go? It doesn't seem to do anything. We live a certain way Monday through Saturday. We just go on Sunday. Can I challenge you this morning? I didn't say this first service. Can I challenge you to make a commitment this morning to live it out, to pursue God like never before, to make it a lifestyle, not a Sunday thing? You want your life to change. You want circumstances to change. You want things to be different. Make it a lifestyle. Making spending time with him a lifestyle. Making reading the word a lifestyle. Making sitting in his presence a lifestyle. Making worship a lifestyle. You bow your heads with me. Maybe this morning you say, I don't even know Jesus. But I want things to change. I want there to be freedom. I want there to be joy. I want there to be things. I want peace in my life. Maybe this morning you say, I want peace. I want that in my life. So this morning you need to say, I need Christ. I need Christ to be at the center of what I'm doing. And so if you've never accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior this morning, and you say, this morning is the time, this morning is the day where I want to give my life to him, would you raise your hand this morning? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. If you raise your hand, would you come in a few minutes and partner with somebody? Would you come and just pray with somebody this morning? For everybody else, I give you this challenge this morning. Father, would you help us to look inward? Would you help us to look at our hearts, look at our motives, look at our ambitions? Are they Christ-centered or are they self-centered? God, would you help us to be a people that when people interact with us, they see you, they know something's different about us. Father, would you help us to take the words that you've written in your book and apply them to our lives? Father, I thank you that sometimes we need to stop and we need to refocus and we need to have these things checked out. We need to go in for an appointment and get a checkup. So, Father, I ask that you this morning would just guide our steps. Father, we thank you. And this morning, God, I bless everyone here this morning. Father, would you bring peace? Would you bring joy? Would you bring prosperity? Would you bring love? God, would you show people your love this morning, your love that surpasses all understanding? God, you pour out your spirit on people this morning. God, would they walk out of here changed, walk out of here different, excited for what is to come, excited for what you're going to do. God, would you stir people up and bring a joy about serving you, a joy about giving our lives to you, God, that this is bigger than us. So, Father, I thank you and I praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come get prayer this morning. Have a good week. Also, if you are new and have never been to one of our VIPs, we have that outside here after service. Love to have you come. Just join us for our VIP lunch. Get to know us at New Life. Also, bake sale going on for kids. Help send kids to camp. Go buy some sweets. Give them to a friend.